All right, we're back here for our third episode of Dog Talk. I'm Joe Mayer. I'm joined with Perrin Barnes and Butler football player Trey Mason. So, Trey, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, I'm Trey Mason. I'm a junior from Raleigh, North Carolina. Play football here at Butler. Involved with a lot of other stuff as well. Thanks for having me on. Excited to talk to you guys.
Yeah, so this week we're taking a little bit different of a path than we have in the past 2 weeks. So we're talking a little bit more about using your voice as an athlete. Like we know, obviously, like it's a platform. Whether we want to, we were joking about it before we got on here, and people actually care what you say, and it's kind of weird to think about. Like if you were to make a statement, so I just want to know what you guys think about that. So.
Yeah, I mean, like you were saying, we're joking. Yeah, we're not UNT Duke basketball, but like what we have to say, it carries a lot of weight. And like we can be involved in leadership roles in certain things besides our sports, and like people want to listen. So, Trey, what are some of the things you said you were involved in? Some things, what are those?
Yeah, so I had the opportunity to, you know, head a little walk that we did during the equality movement last year on campus, which was really fun to be a part of. And then, you know, jump-started the Be United initiative that you obviously are a part of, Perrin, Joe, you were a part of as well. And just having the opportunity to, like you guys said, to use my voice on campus. And it was surprising, especially when I was talking to you, Joe, and we were, you know, thinking about, you know, having a protest and if people would actually support, you're like, just do it. And I really didn't believe them, you know, but then when I went out there, we gathered around Hinkle and I saw the amount of people there, I was really shocked. But to you guys' point, it is amazing, like, even though I feel like we're at a program that doesn't have the same spell, as you said, Perrin, as like a UNC, a Duke, the people in your community, your school community care and look at you a different way because you do play a sport. But yeah, I had the opportunity to lead a couple of initiatives. Also did the Loyola Project panel a couple of weeks ago. Very important project in conjunction with Black History Month. So just having the opportunity to, you know, do everything I can to continue to push equality. You know, obviously it's hot to do when we're in the moment, but the challenging part is, you know, 6-7 months after, continue to keep the momentum moving forward and really try and make change for the people that come in after me.
Yeah, one thing, I know you talked about the march that you led. One of the biggest things that shocked me is, like, it wasn't just, like, athletes. Like, yeah. I know all the athletes got an email, like, hey, show up this time, this day, and, like, we're going to have a march. But, like, it was more than just athletes. There was a bunch of people I didn't know, a bunch of, students.
They were involved, too. They were loud. It wasn't like they were there just marching. They were very much loud. They were even, like, pushing me to the side, like, yo, let me. I'm like, please, by all means, do that. Yeah. And then with the athletes that did show up, there's a tendency, I feel like, within the athlete community that, like, we have egos, right? Like, everybody feels like, you know, they're the best at whatever, or they feel like they have a status, and that's fine and all. But if I didn't really feel that when we did this, you know, all teams came out and were just really humble and supportive. And that's what really shocked me as well, was the amount of people that showed up, the amount of people that truly appreciated what we were getting done. And then I think, to you guys' point about how people sort of listen to what we have to say, there is a leadership quality to that. I think that when you have a bunch of people that, you know, pay attention to what you say, naturally you sort of find yourself in a light where you have the opportunity to make some real change and lead some real change. So, yeah, to your point, Perrin, it was really interesting to see that not just athletes showed up, but a lot of our student body showed up in support as well.
Yeah. I also think it goes back to, I think, at least for me personally, like, it's weird to go back, even, like, when you go home. Like, it's even, like, the breaks and stuff, like, little kids, like, care.
Yes.
And, like, it's so odd.
I'd argue it's worse at home for me because I feel like going to a place like Butler, they just know it as Butler.
Yeah.
And they know it's, like, Division I. So instantly from that point, they just – whether they don't really care what your record is. They don't really care about the success. The fact that you took a – what they look at as a gift, which it is a gift. We have the opportunity to play sports and do what we do and achieve it to really the highest level playing collegiate sports. That's really what gets to me. And then you have the chance to inspire, like, the next generation. I don't know about you guys, but I remember being a kid, and it didn't matter where the older kids went. Like, I would look at some of these colleges now. As a kid, I'm just like, holy smokes, like, he's going there. Like, I didn't even care, like, what division, whatever. Like, just seeing kids look up to you at that standpoint is crazy to me. But then I think back to when I was a kid and I'd see kids like going to like a Davidson or wherever and just looking up to them like, holy smokes, like he took his sport and he's playing it in college, like having those types of aspirations. So I'm sure you guys have similar stories as well with that.
Yeah, I have a story. Like a couple of weeks ago, I was getting my hair done and my hairdresser, she was like, oh, like, what are you doing in school? Like, what are you up to? And this is, like, second time winter. She doesn't really know me.
Yeah.
So I'm like, yeah, I play soccer. She's like, oh, my nephew's, like, getting really into soccer. Like, can you give me some advice? Like, are there some teams around that you know? Like, anything, like, that can help my son grow? How does it work with school? Like, she's getting really into it. And, like, I, like, to me, that's just normal. But it's, like, yeah, she really cares about really that. Because, like, what I can say can really impact someone else's life in a way that it's just, like, it's crazy
100%. To me. It is nuts. I have a similar story, too. Like, I go to a barbershop, and I have my barber. He moved away, but I still go to a barbershop, whatever. And they don't really know me like that, you know? But then one day I walked in with the shirt, and one of them asked, like, yo, you play college football? I'm like, yeah. And from that moment on, like, their eyes just lit up. Before you even really ask you, like, where Butler was, like, who I play, like, any of that, like, just the fact that you're playing college sports, people immediately just light up and they look up to you in a sense where it just, there is a sense of, like, appreciation, a sense of achievement. So, yeah, you do have the opportunity to, like, inspire a lot of people, which I really enjoy, regardless of how you got there, or even if you feel like you don't have that. You shouldn't have that type of power. You naturally get it, and I think that it's really humbling to be a part of.
For sure.
Yeah, I mean, it was very weird for me, just because I think, like, going back home, I didn't think anything of it. Like, other kids from my school and stuff had gone places and whatnot. But it's kind of like what Trey said. Like, I remember being that kid, like, looking up to everybody and, like, oh my gosh, it's so cool. But, like, I think the one time it hit me was just like, it's more like when you go, like, for me, it was so weird. Like, I was, like, a freshman in college, and I was home for Christmas break, and, like, I was just, like, out to dinner, and, like, people, it's not even, like, special treatment, but it's, like, people think it's so cool, but, like, it's one of those things that, like, day by day, you kind of take for granted.
Yes.
But I think the other thing that I don't think, I mean, we haven't touched on it, but the other thing is, like, yeah, you have a platform, but the other thing is, like, you're almost in a spotlight that's, like, you can't slip up.
Yeah,
which is, like, really weird, too, because, like, obviously I don't think, and none of us have had any issues, but, like, I've had plenty of friends that, like, one bad night.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Now it's getting to the point where, I mean, it was sort of like this when we were coming up, but now more than ever, even before you are a college athlete recruiting, I have, my brother is going through the process now, and he tells me stories all the time of these kids having opportunities to play in college sports, and because they tweet something or put something on social media, they lose that opportunity. And it only gets crazier once you are a part of a college team. And regardless, like, again, like, I feel like we don't have a giant, you know, social media, like, attention here, but we still get talks every year going into the season about what to post, what not to post. And it does go a long way, because you're representing a brand, right? So, you absolutely, I feel like, to some degree, you can say it's quote unquote not fair, like, we're kids, whatever, but I feel like it sort of helps us in the long run. You know, you get mature. I feel like we mature faster, you know.
Yeah.
I'm cognizant of it, but I also feel like if you're a good person to begin with, you should be fine. You're able to navigate it and be smart about it and be as genuine as possible. I feel like you slip up in those situations, we try to be something that you're not.
Yep.
You know.
Yeah. I mean, and then the last thing I kind of wanted to touch on, which I think goes on top of that, like, while we talked about, like, the platform and stuff, I think there's a lot, especially the way that social media is and stuff now, I think there's a lot of more pressure on college athletes than there ever has been. Because there's so many things you got to deal with. Like, I mean, we've talked about in other episodes, like NIL, stuff like that, mental health. But, like, it's gotten to a point where, like, there's so many extra steps that go along with, like, being a college athlete that we, like, the people, pressure, like, even as a
flag, we're not even at the very top, so I can't imagine.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, and it's, like, I think people don't take that, like, into consideration a lot of times. Like, it's funny to me, like, to see people on Twitter and stuff. Like, I always think it's funny, like, when it's, like, a big college game and, like,
they don't understand, man.
Yeah, but, like, they're tweeting at people and stuff. Like, it's, like, weird to me because, like, kids, like, they're still kids. Like, we're all kids.
Yeah, like, they're these just objects, like, these professional athletes. Yeah. One, they're not professional. They're, like, a lot of the times they're your age.
Yeah.
Doing these crazy things, like.
Exactly. And that's the crazy thing that I want you guys to take on. Like, I'll have friends that go to, like, giant universities, and you think that they get all this attention, they go through all this. And then when you really get to meet them and you see them, like, they're just like me. Like, the situation is practically the same in terms of what they're doing, the same stuff as me. They're having the same, you know, problems as me, worry about tests, all that stuff. So I think that's really interesting that you guys say that the amount of pressure is something that we all face. And I think it all brings us together as a community, though. Because at the end of the day, you know, no matter what no matter how much my situation, like me and Perrin don't even play the same sports, but we could sit down and probably have similar stories about what we have to deal with.
And I've already seen that, like, I know for me, like, obviously I'm done now, but I've already seen that in, like, the workplace. Like, you talk to people and, like, I've talked to, like, guys that have already been done and guys that are obviously in the workforce, but, like, it's just a different, like, it's a different aspect. Like, the way that you're taught from, like, a young age through sports, like, to go about life, like, it's like you do more than everybody else. You take care of everybody else, that type of thing. Like, you stay late to do your work. And, like, that's not really put
in. Tolerance is different,
too. Yeah, and it's just that's not really put in, like, a normal workplace unless, like, it's driven by athletes. So it's always interesting to me. Like, I feel like you can almost go into a place and not even know someone plays sports, and you can just figure it out by, like, the way they act and walk and talk. Like, and it's weird. Like, it's not supposed to be, like, and I hate to, like, come off that way, like, I'm arrogant or anything. But, like, there's just a difference. Like, it takes, like, you have to, like, I wouldn't say you have to be special to do this stuff, but, like, it takes a lot.
It takes a certain amount of effort. It does, and and it can mold you into – I think that's why I think now we're pushing this mental health so much on our athletes, because I feel like we're mentally – we become naturally stronger, and so we don't know when it is time to get help and when it is time to ask for some help, because there'll be stuff that, you know – my parents would be like, you are visibly stressed out. And I don't even realize that I'm stressed out. You know, something that is really big and, like, I'm swamped. I'll be swamped in something and I won't know I'm swamped until somebody from the outside is like, dude, you're swamped. You need to get help. Because in my head, I'm like, shoot, I can get this done because it's nothing to me.
Part of it's like we're told, like, you got to work through all these stressful situations, like on the field, like, like going through all this. And it's like, oh, you got to push through this. Like, it's going to hurt, but you got to keep going, keep going, keep going. But, like, sometimes you got to rest and, like, a lot of people don't understand that you have to take time to rest, whether it's in your studies, within your sport, like, you have to.
You don't know. And that's why I think it is so important now that we have people, like, I feel like we do. I like that in the athlete community we're having more people checking up and making sure you're okay. Because, like you said, like, you just don't know. When you're in the storm, in your head, that's just another week. You know, some weeks might be harder than others. But to you, that's just another week. It's all we know is to get up and work and work and work, which is why we're so successful even when we're done out of our sport, because staying in extra, you know, getting, you know, whatever you got done at the work office or coming in early, that's nothing. That's no different than coming in early to get a lift, staying late after practice, because, you know, if you want to be best at something, you got to put in the extra time. So, you know, I think, like you said, you don't want to come off as arrogant, but being a student athlete has its blessings, it has its detriments, but it certainly molds you as an overall person when you move on to your next step in life after you're playing.
All right, Trey, we appreciate your time, and we'll catch you on the next episode of Dog Talk.